Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, is putting you in the center of this weekend's UFC 261 title fight with 26-1 odds on either fighter to win. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $5 into $135 if the title contender of your choice wins. That's code FANRUN in all caps to turn $5 into $135. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, want help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
All right, go. Alex, of the Drive underway. The Top 4 at 4 brought to you this afternoon by Olben Franklin Motors, where we are this afternoon, where the deals are this afternoon. Back to the Fan Run Studios we go, where Guy Patterson is standing by the Top 4 at 4. Guy?
Hey, thank you. Just starting off, number one, Tennessee baseball, getting back on track after a 3-2 win against Tennessee Tech, thanks to a walk-off single from Max Ferguson.
Had to have it last night. I mean, that would have been a big setback, right? Dropping the home game to Tennessee Tech on a Tuesday after you drop the series over the weekend to Vanderbilt. And now you go on the road to Texas A&M, a huge three-game series against the Aggies, who the record is not great. But if you look at how things played out with their series against number one Arkansas last weekend, they won the game on Sunday and only lost by a single run on Saturday. So anybody anticipating a cakewalk in College Station is sorely mistaken. That's going to be a tough series.
All right, moving on. Number two, I'm sure most people have seen it by now, the infamous tweet that the Raiders sent out last night saying, "I can breathe." It's got a lot. It's gotten a lot of backlash on Twitter. Mark Davis has come out and taken full responsibility for it, saying that it was his idea and he was the one who sent the tweet out. And he also went on to say that he will not delete it.
Good. Well, backtrack. I mean, it's like I didn't see any problem with it. I saw where George Floyd's brother came out and said it was fine. So,
I mean, it wasn't as bad as some of the other insane stuff from across the political spectrum just that I saw.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's
I could see why some people would have an issue with it, but credit to him for not backing down and sticking to his morals.
I mean, the intent is. I don't know. You judge people by their intent, I think. And I think his heart was in the right place or in a good place anyway. But, yeah, man, some people just won't be mad about something.
Okay, number three. The NFL owners have approved a new series of rules for this upcoming NFL season, the big one being the amount of jurisdiction that the replay official will now have during certain incidents that happen, whether it's a spot of the ball being short of a marker, whether somebody caught a pass incomplete. They'll just have more control over how those go about, so there will be less coaching challenges. But other than that, there are a couple other rules that were implemented. There will be no more overtime in preseason games. If you complete two or more passes behind the line of scrimmage, like we saw Tom Brady do this year, it will now result in a loss of down penalty.
What?
Yeah, so if in a game this year, Tom Brady tried to throw a pass. It was batted down at the line of scrimmage, and he caught the ball. And then he caught it again and just threw it to the receiver that he meant to again, and it was completed for a 9-yard gain. So they either had to accept the penalty or decline the penalty. And if they accepted it, it was 4th and 1. If they declined it, it would have been 3rd and 15. So now, when you accept the penalty, it'll become 4th and 15 because you'll lose the down.
Okay, I see what you're saying now.
So I guess that's the new Tom Brady rule. He's had how many rule changes because of him now?
I mean, the Tuck rule got him his first Super Bowl. It was stolen from the Raiders.
Yep.
You know, the guy's a total fraud. I mean, he's just a total fraud.
One of the big rules that were changed this year was the numbers that certain position groups can wear. So running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, and defensive backs and linebackers can all wear numbers in single digits if they wish now.
Man, call me old school. Call me old-fashioned bear. I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't either. Because what's next? They're going to have that deal in college where two players can have the same number if they're on one's on offense and one's on defense. Very confusing to me.
Running back should be in the 20s. Receiver should be in the 80s. Well, offensive lineman in the 50s and the 60s. I mean, come on, man. There's just
well, Kamara wears the way number 41, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a. I think that's a little high for a running back in the 40s.
What was he here? I can't remember.
Wasn't he just number 4?
I think so.
Or no, he was 6. He was number 6 here.
Yeah. We just never saw him that much.
All right, and number 4. The United States women's national team have gotten their draw for the Olympics in Tokyo. They have gotten in Group G and will have to face Sweden, Australia, and New Zealand.
Hmm. Okay.
The big rival of them, I'm guessing, is Japan, is in Group E, who will have to face Great Britain, Canada, and Chile.
Well, do we play our best women's players in the Olympics? Because we don't on the men's side. Is the women's Olympics, is that a big deal? Like our Rapinoe and Abby Hamm or Wambach or whoever on that team, Hope Solo, are they going to be playing the Olympics?
I think so, because it also went on to say in the article that they are seeking to become the first women's team to ever win a World Cup and Olympic gold medal in back-to-back years.
Well, I look forward to a bunch of 4-0, 5-1 wins for the Americans. Good stuff, Guy. Thank you. Appreciate you. That is the Top 4 at 4. It's brought to you this afternoon by Old Ben Franklin Motors. Come on down. Take a test drive today. The sun is shining. It's a beautiful afternoon. We're at 9711 Kingston Pike. And, again, the story here today at Old Ben is selection, inventory. We have it this afternoon. Cars, 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 whatever you're looking for, whether you want to come in and test drive one of the brand new Mitsubishis, you want to check out the Mirage, you want to check out the Eclipse, the Outlander, you can do that this afternoon. But if you're looking for something different, they've got a great truck selection here this afternoon. They've got a great SUV selection here this afternoon at Old Ben. Regular cars, big cars, small cars, white cars, black cars, red cars, blue cars, they've got it, everything. Here at Old Ben Franklin Motors, and of course, as always, they make it super easy to get the loan you need, regardless of your credit history. You need a car, come on down to Old Ben. They will make sure you drive out of here in the vehicle that best fits your budget and best fits your needs. Old Ben Franklin Motors, 9711 Kingston Pike. Shop online, oldbenfranklinmotors.com. Oh, man, it's shaping up to be a glorious Wednesday afternoon here in East Tennessee. All right, Bears, have you calmed down during the break? Have you cooled off a little bit? You were a little hot there.
I've cooled off, but I still stand by my original statement. I absolutely would not. And I think you show a disgusting lack of loyalty to what I consider to be the best coach on campus. And it makes no sense. What you're wanting to do makes no sense.
I'm not want to do it. I'm just saying if faced with the choice, I think you would have to.
No. No, you don't.
You want to stick with our goofy football program and probation and, you know, another 3 or 4 year rebuild, as opposed to just boom, snapping your fingers, it's fixed. All this can go away. We're in Atlanta for the first time since 2007, since Eric Berry's freshman year. Since Philip Fulmer was still stalking the sidelines, since David Cutcliffe was calling the plays, all this can be gone. Butch Jones, Derek Dooley, Jeremy Pruitt, Tyler Bray, Matt Sims, JG, all of it over, and we're back having won the East. It can all be over, and you would say no to that because of our granted completely awesome rock star baseball coach over here, but just because you don't want him to go?
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying.
I don't understand.
I am loyal to a fault. You know this about me.
Yeah, I mean, I think to a fault is the key term there. Guy Patterson, open up your mic and talk to me here. What do you think? And again, this is a question a listener posed to us this afternoon. I don't want to do it. Here's how bad I don't want to do this. I'm not even going to put the poll online because I know one of you knuckleheads I'm not talking about you guys back in studio, but one of our knucklehead listeners is going to tag Tony in that, and then it becomes a thing, right? I don't even like.
Yeah, it
like
would.
I before
I'd probably tag him in it just to let him know you're not as loyal as I am.
Well, I don't. I feel bad even bringing it up. I really do, but it is an interesting question to ponder. You can't deny that. Guy Patterson, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
You'd let him go?
Yeah, and I love baseball. I love what he's doing to the program, but football's king.
That is true. Guy is a bigger baseball fan than Bear and I combined. Like he lives it, eats it, breathes it, sleeps it.
Yeah, I know. I also know that Tony Vitello's probably the best hire we've made coach-wise since Bruce Pearl. I'm not willing to let go of him.
My thought process is our administration's probably going to do something dumb and let him go anyway, so why don't we get something out of it?
Hmm. Well, my thought process is if we fix football, everything – Tony's already rebuilt the program, right? So if he were to walk at the end of this year – whether we don't meet his demands or he just wants to go to A&M or somewhere else, like if he left, there would be a laundry list of excellent candidates lining up to take it because he's shown that, yes, you can still win big here. And I don't want to have to replace him. We're all on the same page here. We're all singing out of the same hymnal, the good book of Tony Vitello. But we would be... I don't want to say he's replaceable, but he's more replaceable now because of the good job that he's done than he would have been in year one when nobody knew who he was. And that's just the truth, man. That's just a fact. I hate to say it, but I mean that's how it is.
Well.
Get some Twitter reaction here. Tony Vitellico Plains on Twitter says, Bear would rather win the battle than the war. That's what a guy whose Twitter handle is Tony Vitellico Plains is saying, Bear. I mean, that guy's gone to the mat for Tony V.
Until it really counted. That's what I call a fair weather friend.
Vol in Birmingham says, Tony V is my favorite baseball coach to ever coach on the Hill, and baseball is my first love. But I would wipe the whole baseball program off the map to snap my fingers and erase the last decade in football and us back to beating Bama. Now, okay, I did not say that we would be beating Bama. I just said we're winning the East and we're back in the championship game. So we're not all the way to the top of the mountain yet. But in this scenario, in this Faustian bargain that you're being asked to make, you're in a completely different realm than we've been here lately. Holiday for QB says, if you won the East this year, that would easily generate an extra 50-plus million at least over the next year or two for sure. Will never generate that in baseball.
I mean, I'm getting angry again.
You've seen what fixing football did for Alabama. They probably weren't as worse off as we were in 2006, but they weren't far behind.
They won an SEC championship during their downturn. In their historic run of bad, they still won an SEC championship.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're not even – we're worse off than they were. You've got a chance to put it behind you.
Nah.
See, I think you're suffering from a lack of vision here because we're in the midst of this Vitello thing, and it's so much fun and so much better than – what we've been used to in football and even basketball the past couple of years right now. But I want you to close your eyes, Bear. Picture this.
Okay.
Tennessee has just gone 10-2. This is in November, right? We've beaten Georgia in Neyland Stadium. You beat Georgia to win the East in Neyland Stadium. You've won 10 games for the first time in 14 years. You've won the East for the first time in 14 years. Josh Heupel is being talked about as a National Coach of the Year candidate. The recruiting is through the roof. People can't wait to jump on board.
Sure.
The good Heupel.
Sure.
You've won the East. You're going to Atlanta for a rematch with Alabama in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, a venue that we haven't even played in since it opened with Butch on national television, CBS, for that 4 p.m., that 8 p.m. kickoff in prime time. You will be the talk of the college football universe. Picture that for a minute.
I am, and I'm picturing how great it would be with pictures on social media of Tony Vitello in the stands going crazy with us, talking smack.
That's not the you're not playing the game.
I'm deciding to not play the game with you now. I think I want my cake and eat it too. No.
There's no world where he's there with you. He has to be gone. You've let him go too.
No, I will not.
Yeah, okay, but then you can't be at the party. I mean, that's cool.
That's fine. I don't want to party with you and your friends anyhow. A bunch of dorks. I'll be hanging out with Tony V, traveling to the cool party in a Maserati, my man.
Watching Alabama play Georgia in the championship and hoping that next year we win more than five games.
And talking about how much fun that World Series trip was. And let's go back to back.
See, part of me does admire that you are willing to turn your back on King football like this. But I think you would be in the minority. I don't want to put this poll up, man. I don't even want to
no,
see
no,
it.
No, don't.
I've never felt that way, too. If you want to chime in, we're going to circle back to this because we got Aaron Torres coming up here in just a minute. But it's not even a Rickard Ridge smoking hot question today. It's a Rickard Ridge. The house is on fire. The roof is melting. Hot question of the day. There's no smoke. There's just pure raging fire. Stay with us. Aaron Torres coming up next right here on the show. Fan Run Radio continues, back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Radio. The Drive continues live this afternoon at Old Ben Franklin Motors, 9711 Kingston Pike. Russell Smith, Bear, cruising along with you. Pleased to be joined right now by the great and powerful Aaron Torres of Fox Sports Radio. AT, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Good. I'm neither of those two things that you mentioned, but I'm good otherwise, though. I'm good.
Oh, man, you are beyond great and powerful in our book. Aaron, we are lucky to have you as a show contributor this afternoon. Man, I tell you what, this college hoops free agency period that we're working our way through right now, this is really interesting stuff, Aaron. I mean, you talk about something new, uncharted waters. That's what we're in right now, buddy.
Yeah, no, 1,000,000%. It's funny because, you know, like on the one hand, I think some of the numbers are a little bit overblown because everybody's getting that extra year of eligibility and a lot of kids are taking it and a lot of kids are taking it at a new school. But yeah, no, I mean, you know, what's funny to me, Russ, and I'm sure anybody listening has heard me do this spiel 1,000,000 times. My stance on this has been consistent from day one is I feel like if your coach gets fired, if your coach leaves, you should be able to leave without sitting out. If you're a graduate, you should be able to transfer without being able to sit out. I think everybody else should have to sit out. And I don't think it's a, this huge detriment that everyone makes it out to be. You know, Davion Mitchell from Baylor, who was probably the best player in the NCAA tournament this past season, he was a sit-out transfer, and I think things worked out fine for him. He's going to be a top 15 draft pick. So, you know, my stance on this really hasn't changed, but I do find it funny that so many in the national media, and I don't know where you stand on it and all that stuff, but for years have, oh, players should be, they should be, well, let them leave. Why? Well, the coaches leave whenever they want. And I'm like, it's a totally different deal. And I don't think that they should be able to leave. But now those same people that for years have been saying, oh, players should be allowed to leave whatever they want, now they're annoyed by the number, the sheer volume of people in the transfer portal. So to me, one, you can't have it both ways. But two, you know, it's funny because this was the year that I kind of finally accepted this is the future. This is now. This is how it's going to be. And this is the year that for whatever reason, everybody else seems to be outraged about a rule that many of them actually pushed for to get through the first place.
Yeah, and you see, it's interesting. They say that, I've heard this a lot, I'm sure you have, that there are more kids in the transfer portal right now than there are scholarships available across the country in D1 basketball. Do you think that the numbers are out of whack this year just because it's so new and a lot of kids don't understand the ramifications? Do you think that things will even out a little bit here or in a year or two once we kind of get a feel for what this is going to be like?
You know, I really don't. I really don't, because everyone thinks they're the exception of the rule. Everyone thinks that, you know, things don't apply to them. I mean, there is even now, Russ, you know, the grad transfer stuff has been pretty popular for about a decade now. And just with the grad transfers, there's a pretty good database of knowledge of if you're a star at a small school, the likelihood of you transferring up to a major Power 5, Power 6 conference league and being like a major, major, major contributor. Now, can you be the seventh guy off the bench? Absolutely. Can you play a role? Absolutely. But the chances of you having a similar role, and by the way, you know, who's a perfect example of this, EJ Anasicki. And I know it's a little different for him. I know his sister played there, and I know he wanted to be a Vol. So I'm not criticizing EJ Anasicki, but like, that's a perfect example of he had it really good at Sacred Heart. By the way, I grew up probably about an hour from Sacred Heart. I'm just going to tell you right now, really fun school. Won't get into some of my stories from there. But really fun school. And, you know, and there's been a pretty good database for years that, you know, you can transfer up, but you're probably not going to play. Your role is going to be smaller. Some guys are totally okay with that. They want to play at a big program. They want to play in an NCAA tournament, all that stuff. But a lot of guys are like most of us. They want to play. They want their opportunity, all that stuff. And so, you know, everyone keeps telling me, oh, it's going to even itself out in a couple of years. I don't think it's going to. I think that, you know, people are still going to believe that they're the exception. And for the record, I don't even know that I blame kids for wanting to challenge themselves at the highest level. We all do. And in anything that we do, you want to do it at the best level and the highest level you can. But I don't think that it's going to change. And I don't think that if you're, you know, a 19-point-a-game score at Chattanooga 3 years versus 3 years from now versus this year, that you're going to think any differently about if I transfer to UT Knoxville, I'm going to ball out and I'm going to be the SEC Player of the Year. And so, you know, I mean, I don't know what allows the numbers to go down. I don't know what has to happen, but I don't think it's changing anytime soon. And I don't think it's good for college athletics. And I don't know. I don't know what to say. We can take it in any direction you want. But I don't think it's changing just because we have big, I think the numbers are really big this year because again of the one-time transfer rule, but I don't think, you know, 4 years from now, the kid that would have transferred this year is now going to say, you know what, we have enough data. I'm not going to make it at the next level. So I'm not even going to try.
Talk with Aaron Torres, Fox Sports Radio, and it's going to change so much about the way a lot of these high major coaches recruit. And I look at a guy like Rick Barnes, Aaron, who's, I mean, in my mind, he's going to have to flip his entire script, and you'll still be able to recruit the five stars, your Keon Johnsons, your Kennedy Chandlers, but you also recruit other rosters now. I mean, you're just looking at other the entire game of college basketball, mid-majors, even majors. Tennessee, probably their best import this year, besides Kennedy Chandler, might end up being Justin Powell from Auburn. So you're going to be looking at those guys because there's no penalty to sit out, and the three stars, I wonder, Aaron, would Rick Barnes recruit a Grant Williams if a player like that, a proverbial diamond in the rough, was coming up out of Charlotte today? Or would he say, you know, I'm going to let that kid go to Charlotte, go to UNC Greensboro, and maybe I recruit him down the road if he pans out.
I think it's a great point, Russ. And, you know, I mean, I think there's always going to be exceptions of, you know, I think where it really starts is in recruiting. And, you know, I think you just, the coaches that are honest and say, hey, look, you know, I'm not going to lie to you and say that you're going to come in and as a freshman start, you know, every single game and play 32 minutes a game, like it's going to be a developmental process. Like, I still think that coaches are going to recruit those type of guys, but I do think there's something to be said about what you said, Russ, about I think it's going to be fewer and fewer and fewer. It's really funny. I was talking to a buddy of mine who's a high major assistant coach last night, and he told me the number one part of his job at this point is building and maintaining relationships and not burning any bridges, because chances are pretty good that kid that you finished second on, that small forward from Nashville that you finished second on, there's a pretty good chance that in a year or two he's going to be in the portal, and you don't want to burn the relationships with him. By the way, for fans listening, I would say the same thing. I know that, you know, it's a small segment of fans that get online and yell and scream at recruits when they pick another school. Don't do that, because there's a chance that kid that you're yelling and screaming at could be in the portal in a year, and, you know, you don't want to scare him away. And so this is just the new reality, and I'm with you, Russ. I really think that the people that are hurt the most are the high school kids that are even coming up and on their way up and all that kind of stuff. You know, I don't think that – I think what is going to happen in the future is exactly what you said, is I've had a lot of coaches tell me, I'm not even recruiting high school kids anymore, because if they play well, you know, say if you're at a mid-major and they play well, they're going to transfer up, and if they don't play enough, they're going to transfer down. And I think Rick Barnes's perspective is probably the same thing. I'll get the kid that I think can be a one-and-done like a Kennedy Chandler, but do I take the chance on the four-star kid that, you know, 10 years ago, 6 years ago, 5 years ago, 3 years ago would be a real good three-year college player that I can develop into a pro? Or do I even bother with that kid? Because if he doesn't play as a freshman, he's just going to bounce anyway. And so it's funny, right before I got on the phone with you, Russ, I was on another call, another station, whatever, but we had this exact same conversation, and it's just really one of those deals where there's a lot of really big changes in college athletics right now, and I don't think most people, and certainly, frankly, sadly, the people that are making the decisions at the NCAA level, I don't think they really realize the repercussions of all this stuff, but it's not good. I think it's going to hurt college or high school players. It's ironic because these rules are supposed to help players. I think in the long run, it's going to hurt a lot more players than it actually ends up helping.
I'm curious to know if you've talked to any mid-major coaches or assistants.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's a double-edged sword for them, because on one hand, they're going to be able to recruit, quote-unquote, three-star athletes that they hadn't been able to recruit in the past, right? Because the high majors are going to be so preoccupied with the transfer portal. But the flip side of that is they basically become farm teams, and if a guy goes to Morehead State or Murray State or Belmont and blows up, and he went to that school because he wasn't getting any offers from high D1 schools, all of a sudden they're just looking at that school as a pit stop on their way to bigger and better things.
There's no doubt about it. There's no, you know, and that's who I feel the worst for, is the mid-major coach. I mean, I'll be honest. Like, I know it's not cool to say, but like, I feel bad for the high-major coaches too. You know, you spend 3 years building a relationship with a kid and his family, and 6 months later, he's not happy and he just bounces. And not only does he bounce, but, you know, you basically have to re-recruit all of your players all year, every season, make sure that they're happy, make sure that they get what they need. And by the way, I'm not saying that, just so it's established, I'm not saying, like, you know, little Johnny should be angry at the end of the bench. Like, yes, I would hope that every coach would have a great relationship with all his players and, you know, whatever. But, like, you basically have to have a pulse on all of your players all the time. Are they happy? Are they satisfied? You know, who's in their ear? Who's talking to them? And all that kind of stuff. And then on the mid-major level, yeah, I think there's no doubt about it. It's like you're almost punished for taking the kid that nobody else believed in, that you believed in. I'll just give you a quick example, Russ, but I don't know this kid, and I don't know this program, and I don't know this coach, but this year, Texas A&M last week just got a commitment from a kid named Marcus Williams, okay? So he played at Wyoming last year in the Mountain West. Mountain West is, you know, second-tier conference, but it's not a bad conference. But so he was recruited originally. His only scholarship offer was to Northern Colorado, which is in the Big Sky, which is, like, as small can get in college sports, right? commits to Northern Colorado. The coach leaves. The new coach doesn't want him. He follows the new coach or the old coach that recruited him to Northern Colorado to Wyoming. So the coach believed in him at Northern Colorado, then believed in him enough to bring him up a level to the Mountain West. He balls out as a freshman, 15 points a game, and enters the transfer portal. And I'm just sitting there saying, again, I don't know the kid and I don't know the coach, so I'm not like holding water for the coach here, but it's like, dude, there was one coach in America that believed in you. And the second that you have two good games in a row, you hit the portal. It's like, what are we even doing here? And so, you know, I don't want to sound like the old guy on the porch and whatever, but like, man, like loyalty is just officially dead, man. I mean, when you have literally one coach in America that believes in you, and it was the exact scenario that you just laid out, Russ, has you know, nobody believes in him, goes to the school, coach believes in him enough to put the ball in his hands as a true freshman, balls out, and he bounces 2 weeks after the season. I mean, you know, like, I'm not as worked up about it as I sound. Like, it's just what it is. It's just the deal. Like, it's just how it has to be. But it's like, what are we even doing here, man? Like, what are we teaching our kids about loyalty and commitment and just bounce to the next place? You know, like, you use somebody for all you can and then get out as fast as you can. Like, it's just, it feels kind of gross to me. But again, as weird as it sounds, as angry as I sound about it right now, like, I've just kind of accepted that this is what it is. But when you ask me about it, you get me pretty fired up, Russ, as you can tell. So it's just one of those deals where it's like, I know I'm rambling at this point, but I don't know what else to say, man. I don't think it's good for college sports. I don't think it's good for the kids. I think it's going to hurt graduation rates. I think it's going to hurt high school players trying to get recruited. There's going to be less loyalty from the coach's perspective. I don't blame them. So, I think you probably know where I stand. Not a big fan.
I don't know, Aaron. Listening to you, I'm starting to think this college basketball business might not be on the up and up. Might be a little shady.
Yeah,
I don't know.
The FBI only scratches the surface. No, man, you know, it is what it is, right? And you're right. It goes both ways, and coaches do crappy stuff to kids all the time, and so that's always an important element of it too. But, you know, what's disappointing, Russ, and I know because you kind of – see, you and I are kindred spirits in the sense that, you know, we have to have a social media presence because it's part of our job. But we kind of mock people on social media sometimes because it's like, you know, no matter what you say, you're going to piss off somebody. And so I think guys like you and I just at a certain point realize we're never going to make anybody happy. So we're just going to say what we feel and we don't really care what the reaction is. And, you know, but what cracks me up and I bring it up is because if you straw polled 100 Division I basketball coaches, I would venture to guess 95 at minimum would say this is a terrible rule. Now, some of it is self-serving, but I think some of it is based in like a lot of the stuff that we've talked about. But I only bring it up to say how many coaches have you actually heard speak out against this rule? Zero, because they'll get destroyed on social media. People will use it against them in recruiting, all that stuff. And so, yeah, college basketball is corrupt and there's all kinds of crazy stuff. And I'm sure you hear all sorts of stuff and I hear all sorts of stuff. And I'm not claiming that it's 1942 and, you know, you're playing for Old State U and all that great stuff. But it's like, you know, we're just making these huge, crazy, landscape-altering rules. And I don't think anyone that matters, anybody who is actually making these decisions, is actually thinking about the long-term ramifications that are coming with these decisions.
Aaron, were you surprised that Arizona went ahead and got rid of Sean Miller? Was that just a you're not winning enough for us to put up with all the other stuff thing? Or was that just the only logical conclusion of him being part of the FBI thing?
Oh, well, you know, initially I was surprised by the timing of it. I didn't really understand why you wait 5 weeks after Arizona season ends to make that move. But then when, you know, you kind of put two and two together and, you know, Gonzaga season ends on a Monday night and they fire Sean Miller first thing on Wednesday. And Tommy Lloyd is immediately Gonzaga's lead assistant, the front runner for the job. You know, you start to kind of do some mental math and say kind of what we were just talking about, Russ, is, well, yeah, I mean, you could have fired Sean Miller the day after the season, but you know, then all your players enter the portal. And then all of a sudden the job, as unappealing as it may be now, is that much more unappealing because you don't have a roster to come to. So, you know, I have it on, you know, pretty confident authority that they basically just kept Sean Miller around, you know, just to ease the transition. And I don't think Sean Miller knew that, which is unfortunate for him. You know, what I would say is, you know, my opinion on this has been pretty straightforward is I think it's just dumb from Arizona's perspective. I think you either fire him you know, 3 years ago when all this stuff first came up, or you just wait until the end of the investigation. I do think, you know, the losing certainly didn't help, but they finished fifth in the Pac-12 this year, man. And, you know, three teams that finished ahead of them, you know, ended up in the Elite Eight. So it's not as though, you know, they you know, were terrible or anything like that. You know, they finished ahead of Oregon State, which ended up in the Elite Eight. So you know, I would have waited, but I do wonder, they were supposed to have their whole team back next year, and I think they could have been pretty good. And then if they get good next year, then it makes it that much harder to fire them. And so all I can say is, yes, initially I was surprised, but when you start kind of doing the mental math of the timing of everything, you start to realize, okay, there was probably some logic as to why this decision was made when it was. And once that happens, and once it becomes clear that Tommy Lloyd, the Gonzaga assistant, is the favorite to get the job, then you're frankly not very surprised at all. And like you said, Russ, you know, college basketball, ain't it, you know, the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, ain't it beautiful, man? Ain't it beautiful? As long as you're not one of the people whose lives is being completely, you know, flipped upside down, it's fun to watch from a distance, huh?
It's all good when it's not you. Aaron, last thing, real quick, we'll let you run here. Just your quick takes on Chris Beard to Texas, Mike Woodson to Indiana. Good hires, bad hires, remains to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Beard's the only hire that was made this whole offseason that's like an A-plus, no doubt about it. I mean, you know, one defensive stop away from a national championship, and it's kind of crazy. He's hit the ground running. They've already signed three transfers. I don't think people realize high school basketball in Texas is incredible. I mean, you go through the list of guys that are out of the state of Texas the last 10 years, it's insane. So that's a home run. You know, Mike Woodson, I'll say this, you know, anybody who kind of follows me on social media knows I was not a fan of the hire initially. But listen, you know, to his credit, he's hired young assistant coaches. He's basically said, hey, I'm 63. I don't really know how college basketball works. I'm going to hire people who do. And he's done a good job, man. He's done a good job of retaining his own players, going into the portal to re-recruit his players, as you and I discussed a minute ago, you know, going into the portal to get some additions on his own. And so, look, you know, the guy hasn't coached a game at the college level. It remains to be seen. He was a pretty good NBA coach. But I've been genuinely impressed. You know, a lot of these guys come down from the NBA. They bring their NBA buddies as assistant coaches, you know, don't bother to learn how recruiting works. And this guy's been the exact opposite. He seems really invested. And I give him credit, man. I give him credit because, you know, I really didn't think that he was going to do the things that he has done so far. And the hire to date has been a pleasant surprise. I will genuinely say that, Russ.
Well, as Tennessee football fans who are on I've lost track. I think we're on our fourth or fifth coach since Fulmer now. I'm kind of pulling for Indiana. I just want to see another
yeah.
a fellow program, once proud program that's fallen on hard times, can't get it right. I want to see them finally make it happen. So, Aaron, we appreciate your time, my man. I will be calling you later for some of those Sacred Heart stories.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I mean, it's. I don't remember a lot of the stuff that happened when I was there, but it was fun, though. I had a great time, so.
I just like to throw those in there, let you know I'm paying attention.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thanks, man. We'll talk soon.
Aaron Torres, at @Aaron_Torres, Fox Sports Radio, making his presence felt this afternoon on the G3 Help Me Hotline. We got to take a quick timeout. Stay with us. The Drive rages on. Back with more Fan Run Radio right after this.
Heating and air system.
Fan Run Radio. Drive continues. Russ LeBaire back with you. Aaron Torres on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Bear, what did you learn?
Learned a lot, Russ. I hate it when you do this because I draw a blank.
Well, you know I'm going to do it. So
yeah.
Why aren't you prepared?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I have to start taking notes. what was it? Hold on. The part about, you know, with the transfer portal, about how you have to be real careful about burning bridges because you never know.
Yeah.
When you come in second for someone, that you could end up getting him right back.
The situation I was thinking about when he was saying that was Tyler Smith.
Yep. That's exactly who I thought about.
And that was, I mean, Bruce Pearl was something else, man. When because you remember when he went to Iowa, that was ugly, man. Like his dad, Billy Smith, was in the papers trashing Bruce Pearl because he wouldn't let him out of the letter of intent at mm-hmm. first. And then he ends up going to Iowa and wants to come back. And somehow Bruce Pearl pulled that off. And like the dad was just trashing him. But they kissed and made up, man. Bruce Pearl was able to smooth it over. So
yeah Bruce never took anything personal. Yeah, especially when it meant getting a good basketball player.
You can't do it even more so now with this new world that we are entering. All right, 865-546-8200. Let's go back to the phone. Shane has been hanging on. Good afternoon, Shane. You're on the drive.
Hey, guys. I appreciate your show today. Aaron's very interesting.
Thank you.
I think I'm probably a first-time caller. Last time I called, Terry Fair was with you, Russ.
Wow. It's been a while for you, Shane.
Yeah. I got a freshman in high school. He's basketball. And we had just had a meeting last week with a recruiting agency. It's supposed to get exposure for your kid and stuff. And we had that meeting. It's a telephone meeting. And it lasted about 45 minutes. And, of course, the fee, it was like $3,000 or whatever. You know, but that's a lifetime fee. And I'm sure there's other folks listening that's a whole lot more familiar with it and probably has done it. But they show everything that they do for the parents and for the kid, et cetera. I was very surprised at one of the points of their sale is they stay with your player even after they have committed to college, and they help them to get transferred if they want to.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's really interesting, man. So essentially, yeah. Your kid goes to college. He gets a scholarship to go to play basketball, we'll say at UTC, Chattanooga. He goes down there, but this agency that he's hooked up with, still following him, they'll get his highlights out there so that he can climb that ladder, get from Chattanooga to Tennessee.
That's it. That's exactly
wild.
What it is.
I'll tell you right now, hey, Shane, in the span of your call, I've had two texts from local basketball coaches. One says, waste of money, play AAU, and the other one said, waste of money.
Yeah.
You already fork over the $3,000, Shane?
No, I'm not going to do $3,000. We talked to his high school coach, and he said, we do the same thing that they're talking. He said, for us as high school coaches, he said, we want to see how committed the player is. He said, with huddle and stuff nowadays, he said, it's literally a push of a button. But he said, a kid, unless they're just five-star, you know, out of this world, he said, we let the kid come to us and tell us, hey, we're interested in playing after high school. And he said, then we begin the process. He said, but we're not going to go spend a bunch of time on kids to try to get them recruited. He said, some of them don't even want to get recruited.
Wow. Well, here's the thing, too, now is if your kid does end up going to Belmont or Chattanooga or something like that and has aspirations of playing in the SEC or the ACC or something like that, you don't have to worry about that anymore, Shane, because all those schools, those Power 5 conferences are going to be watching all those games, man. They're going to know if your kid can play at that level. And if he can, guess what? They're going to recruit him. Even if he's on somebody else's roster. I mean, they might, you know, call it tampering, but that's been going on for years. They'll find a way. You talk to the kid's high school coach, or they talk to you, the dad, or whoever, and get in touch, and that's how that thing's going to go.
Yeah, I don't like it. I'm old school. I'm all about commitment and loyalty. But the first thing I thought of is the generation that we're living in now. If I don't get my way, I'll just take my ball and go home.
Wow. Yeah, it's not a great message we're sending to the youth in that sport, is it?
Not at all.
Well, Shane, it's great to hear from you, my friend. I hope you won't be so long in between phone calls next time. And good luck to your son as he begins his high school career.
Thank you, Russ.
Thanks, man. 865-546-8200. Man, everybody's got their hand out for a buck, huh? $3,000.
Hand out for a buck. Any parent listening to us right now that has a child that's a high school, never pay a recruiting service $3,000.
Yeah, when he was laying that out, I thought he was going to say a couple $100, you know, $500, maybe $1,000, something $3,000. For what, a couple of highlight tapes? And, yeah. and then they're going to talk to the same coaches that you can talk to for free who probably don't even want to be talking to those guys?
No, they absolutely do not and would rather talk to the high school coaches that they've had relationships going back, you know, some coaches here in Knoxville, 30 years.
Mm.
And I know Hutchins over at Catholic, he had a kid, went to Clemson with when Barnes was there, like 30 years ago.
How about that?
But no, I'm sure Rick Barnes would rather deal with some recruiting guru. Wow. All right. I've heard it all now.
Phil is next. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on the drive.
Boys, all right, W.
Hey, Philly, how's it going, man?
How you married on?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Hanging in there. I'm glad y'all recognized the three best players in Knoxville earlier in the show. It's pretty cool.
I'm glad you enjoyed that, Phil.
I won't give you a name, though. You're going to enjoy even more. DeAndre okay. Lindsey.
Who's that? DeAndre Lindsey. Who's that?
Well, get your Google and look at it, and you'll see.
DeAndre Lindsey. I'll look it up for him.
Guys, this portal stuff, this is just a one-time thing. It'll settle down a little bit next year. But a lot of these guys that are transferring up, a lot of them are going to transfer down because they can't play at the level they're at.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, there will be opportunities for those mid-major coaches, but you know, those guys have so much more on their plate than a guy like Rick Barnes does anyway. I mean, it's going to be at some level, you just want to coach your team, right? You want to prepare for games and coach your team, but now you're going to be spending half your time fending off the high majors from poaching the best players on your roster. And the other half of the time trying to recruit the players that you're talking about, Phil, that might not want to hang around the majors because they're not getting any playing time.
Yeah. And your question about the baseball and the football, here we go. Let's pretend we're good in something. We haven't been good in 20 years then.
Well, what do you say? The smoking hot question was, would you let Tony Vitello walk if it meant we win the East in football this year?
Well, it's just a bunch of bull. I mean, what kind of crap is it? We're not going to win anything in football. There's no way you're going to beat Meatloaf at Florida. You're not going to beat the guy at Georgia. And you know you're not going to beat Saban. That's still a lot. We're 0-3 for the season even starting. We're going to be on probation on top of that. So how are we going to win the East anytime soon?
I know it's a ridiculous question, Phil, but just play along.
Play along is always going to be awesome. Play along and have questions like that every day on there. Trying to make us feel good when we're no good.
Okay. I thought it was fun to play with. Let's dream. Like you say, let's pretend.
I know. You like to let's pretend all summer. I love it. I wanted to get that contest back when Barry dominated that one year, and it had some real excitement. See?
Phil, your phone call really went off the rails in a hurry there.
DeAndre Lindsey is he's a 2025.
Some 14-year-old somewhere that Phil's fallen in love with.
He's a 6'6" power forward. I'd say it. I mean, he's in eighth grade now, I think. Yeah, he's in eighth grade.
Is he going to Catholic? Is that it?
I would imagine. I think he's over at Sacred Heart right now.
Oh, cool. I hope it works out for him. Hey, there might be a day when we start talking about eighth graders, basketball prospects on this show. Today is not the day, okay? Let's move along. Hour number three of The Drive coming up. More Fan Run Radio on the way.